12. Mitsuko. Chia used a public data port in the deepest level of the station. The sandbender sent the number they'd given her for Mitsuko Mimura, the Tokyo chapter's social secretary. Everyone in Tokyo chapter seemed to have a formal title. A girl's sleepy voice in Japanese from the sandbender speakers. The translation followed instantly.
Hello? Yes? May I help you?
It's Chia McKenzie, from Seattle.
You are still in Seattle?
I'm here, in Tokyo. She upped the scale on the sandbender's map. In a subway station called Shinjuku.
Yes, very good. Are you coming here now?
I'd sure like to. I'm really tired. The voice began to explain the route.
It's okay, Chia said. My computer can do it. Just tell me the station I have to get to.
She found it on the map, set a marker.
How long will it take to get there? 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how crowded the trains are. I will meet you there.
You don't have to do that, Chia said. Just give me your address.
Japanese addresses are difficult.
It's okay, Chia said. I've got global positioning. The sandbenders, working the Tokyo Telco, was already showing her Mitsuko Mimura's latitude and longitude. In Seattle, that only worked for business numbers.
No, Mitsuko said. I must greet you. I am the social secretary.
Thanks, Chia said. I'm on my way. With her bag over her shoulder, left partly unzipped so she could follow the sandbender's verbal prompts, Chia rode an escalator up, 2 levels, bought a ticket with her cash card, and found her platform. It was really crowded as the airport, but when the train came, she let the crowd pick her up and squash her into the nearest car. It would have been harder not to get on. As they pulled out, she heard the sandbenders announce that they were leaving Shinjuku Station. The sky was like mother of pearl when Chia emerged from the station. Gray buildings, pastel neon, a streetscape dotted with vaguely unfamiliar shapes. Dozens of bicycles were parked everywhere, the fragile-looking kind, with paper tube frames spun with carbon fiber. Chia took a step back as an enormous turquoise garbage truck rumbled past, its driver's white-gloved hands visible on the high wheel. As it cleared her field of vision, she saw a Japanese girl wearing a short plaid skirt and black biker jacket. The girl smiled. Chia waved. Mitsuko's second-floor room was above the rear of her father's restaurant. Chia could hear a steady thumping sound from below, and Mitsuko explained that that was a food prep robot that chopped and sliced things. The room was smaller than Chia's bedroom in Seattle, but much cleaner, very neat and organized. So was Mitsuko, who had her razor-edged coppery diagonal bleached into her black bangs and wore sneakers with double soles. She was 13, a year younger than Chia. Mitsuko had introduced Chia to her father, who wore a white short-sleeve shirt, a tie, and was supervising 3 white-gloved men in blue coveralls, who were cleaning his restaurant with great energy and determination. Mitsuko's father had nodded, smiled, said something in Japanese, and gone back to what he was doing. On their way upstairs, Mitsuko, who didn't speak much English, told Chia that she'd told her father that Chia was part of some cultural exchange program, short-term homestay, something to do with her school. Mitsuko had the same poster on her wall, the original cover shot from the Dog Soup album. Mitsuko went downstairs, returning with a pot of tea and a covered segmented box that contained a California roll and an assortment of less familiar things. Grateful for the familiarity of the California roll, Chia ate everything except the one with the orange sea urchin goo on top. Mitsuko complimented her on her skill with chopsticks. Chia said she was from Seattle and people there used chopsticks a lot. Now, they were both wearing wireless ear-clip headsets. The translation was generally glitch-free, except when Mitsuko used Japanese slang that was too new, or when she inserted English words that she knew but couldn't pronounce. Chia wanted to ask her about Rez and the Eidaru, but they kept getting on to other things. Then Chia fell asleep, sitting up cross-legged on the floor, and Mitsuko must have managed to roll her onto a hard little futon thing that she'd unfolded from somewhere, because that was where Chia woke up, 3 hours later. A rainy silver light was at the room's narrow window. Mitsuko appeared with another pot of tea and said something in Japanese. Chia found her ear clip and put it on.
"You must have been exhausted," the ear clip translated.
Then Mitsuko said she was taking the day off from school to be with Chia. They drank the nearly colorless tea from little nubbly ceramic cups. Mitsuko explained that she lived here with her father, her mother, and a brother, Masahiko. Her mother was away, visiting a relative in Kyoto. Mitsuko said that Kyoto was very beautiful and that Chia should go there.
"I'm here for my chapter," Chia said. "I can't do tourist things. I have things to find out."
"I understand," Mitsuko said.
"So is it true? Does Rez really want to marry a software agent?"
Mitsuko looked uncomfortable.
"I am the social secretary," she said. "You must first discuss this with Hiromi Ogawa."
"Who's she?"
"Hiromi is the president of our chapter."
"Fine," Chia said. "When do I talk to her?"
"We are erecting a site for the discussion. It will be ready soon."
Mitsuko still looked uncomfortable. Chia decided to change the subject.
"What's your brother like? How old is he?"
"Masahiko is 17,
Mitsuko said.
"He is a pathological techno-fetishist with social deficit."
This last all strung together like one word, indicating a concept that taxed the lexicon of the ear clips. Chia wondered briefly if it would be worth running it through her sandbenders, whose translation functions updated automatically whenever she ported. "A what?"
"Otaku,"
Mitsuko said carefully in Japanese. The translation burped its clumsy word string again.
"Oh," Chia said. "We have those. We even use the same word."
"I think that in America they are not the same,"
Mitsuko said.
"Well," Chia said, "it's a boy thing, right? The otaku guys at my last school were into, like, plastic anime babes, military simulations, and trivia. Big time into trivia."
She watched Mitsuko listen to the translation.
"Yes," Mitsuko said. "But you say they go to school. Ours do not go to school. They complete their studies online, and that is bad, because they cheat easily. Then they are tested later and are caught and fail, but they do not care. It is a social problem."
"Your brother's one?"
"Yes,"
Mitsuko said.
"He lives in Walled City."
"And where?"
"A multi-user domain. It is his obsession, like a drug. He has a room here. He seldom leaves it. All his waking hours, he is in Walled City. His dreams, too, I think."
Chia tried to get more of a sense of Hiromi Ogawa before the noon meeting, but with mixed results. She was older, 17, as old as Zona Rosa, and had been in the club for at least 5 years. She was possibly overweight, though this had had to be conveyed in intercultural girl code, nothing overt, and favored elaborate iconics. But overall, Chia kept running up against Mitsuko's sense of her duty to her chapter, and of her own position, and of Hiromi's position. Chia hated club politics, and she was beginning to suspect they might pose a real problem here. Mitsuko was getting her computer out. It was one of those soft, transparent Korean units, the kind that looked like a flat bag of clear white jelly with a bunch of colored jujubes inside. Chia unzipped her bag and pulled her sandbenders out.
"What is that?"
Mitsuko asked.
"My computer."
Mitsuko was clearly impressed.
"Is it by Harley Davidson?"
"It was made by the sandbenders,"
Chia said, finding her goggles and gloves.
They're a commune down on the Oregon coast. They do these, and they do software.
Is it American?
Sure.
I had not known Americans made computers,
Mitsuko said. Chia worked each silver thimble over the tips of her fingers and thumbs, fastened the wrist straps.
I'm ready for the meeting, she said.
Mitsuko giggled, nervously.